the Award Podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 199 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight to your ear holes. Yes, indeed. Man, we've got a great one. We've got a great one planned for you today. Eddie Pepitone, comedy genius. In my opinion, will be joining us here shortly. This is it's an old episode. We'll get into why we're doing this. It's an old episode from March 25th, 2012, where we talked with Eddie as he was coming to do a little show at this thing called Laugh Hole, which used to take place here in Seattle. It's a great conversation, so I hope you guys stick around. We're going to be featuring music today from the very talented Sean Nelson of the likes of Harvey Danger. And he was in Death Cab for Cutie for a little while, did some stuff with them. Also in The Long Winters for a little while. He just was celebrating last night his 20th anniversary of making rock music in this fair city. So we're going to be playing some stuff throughout his career as well within this episode. So it's going to be a good one, man. It's all jam-packed full of stuff. It's going to be great. If you hear a hiss in the background, I'm sorry. I apologize. It is hot as shit. I don't know. Yeah. Poo is pretty hot, right? So that's a correct term, I think. But it is really hot in the backyard, folks, and we've got to have the fan going because otherwise I'm just going to be sweating bullets back here and it's going to get in all the recording equipment, and then nothing's going to work anymore. Yes, it has been very, very nice here in the Seattle area. It's wonderful. I hope it's nice where you're at, but I'll tell you what, I'm ready, like a true Northwestern person, I am ready for some rain to come back, man. I think I talked about this last week. I am ready for that rain to come back. Water my lawn, God. Okay. Let's get down to brass tacks, shall we? Shall we? Can we? I've been living in my head a lot. I've been living in my head a lot for the past couple weeks. I don't know. I'm coming to terms with my age now, right? I mean, I'm not that old. I'm not even supposed to be really having a midlife crisis yet, but I think I'm coming to terms with my age. I had to go to the doctor, to the doctor's appointment. I had to take a day off of my scheduled regular job to go to doctor's appointments last week. Can you believe that? I've never done that before, but it was doctors, getting blood work done, checking my cholesterol, checking some other stuff, and then talking to the doctor about bone spurs in my feet because they hurt really bad. And then going to the dentist and getting a bunch of work done on my teeth, which didn't turn out all that great either. And I'm coming to terms with being old. Like, I got my results back for my cholesterol and I was like, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Everything's cool with me, right? I'm still young. Mr. Roden, you are 30 points over where you should be. You need to start exercising. Fuck. What? That shouldn't be happening, right? I mean, it's not that bad. Like, even the doctor said, it's not that bad. Your cholesterol's not that bad. But this is something that we're going to have to watch. And we want you to come back in 6 months after you've been, exercising regularly. And we want to check up on you now. And then, man, that hit me. It hit me. I'm only 33. I'm about to be 34, I guess. But that's not too old. That's not that old. Should I be worrying about cholesterol? I guess. Part of it, too, is that I've got two kids now, man. And I'm unable to do a lot of things that I was able to do with only one kid. Like, we had figured it out, right? I was able to do a lot of stuff for the show. I was able to go to shows. I was able to go to comedy shows, go to music shows, go to openings and stuff like that for this show, right? I was able to do that kind of stuff and make appearances and be in places, get my name out there, mingle, do the stuff, right? But now I can't. I'm tired. I'm getting older. And I've got two kids at home that depend on me, right? They depend on me. My wife depends on me to be home and help out. And I can't do that shit anymore. And it's frustrating. Because I want to do good by you guys. I want to do good by the listener. And I want to bring you guys top-notch entertainment for free, right? But I'm having trouble, man. I'm having trouble getting out there and spreading the good word of the air raid. Because part of like having a podcast is that you're going out, you're mingling with people, you're talking to people about what you do. Like that's a huge part of getting your name out there, you know? Self-promotion. You need to do that stuff in this kind of business, right? And I'm kind of unable to do that. The only things at my fingertips now are like social media, and that doesn't seem to be going very well. I think people get annoyed at seeing that stuff over and over and over again, seeing my posts about, hey, I do a podcast. Come and listen to my show. I don't know what to do, folks. If you're listening to this, you know, help us out a little bit. We need you to spread the good word, man. Spread the good word of the Air Raid podcast. Tell your sister. Let's see. Oh, if your mom has an iTunes account, subscribe her to the show. She won't even know. Seriously. And maybe even, give us a little star rating on iTunes as well. That helps us out. Makes me feel good, right? Yeah. But yeah, I've been living in my head a lot, man, this last week and just like kind of arguing with myself, being anxious, you know, not really able to sit down even though I needed to because I'm tired as fuck. And I'm getting out there, but I'm getting out into, you know, and I'm doing all these chores. I'm doing all these chores. Like I installed at like 11 o'clock last night, I installed a faucet, a kitchen faucet. I even called in sick to an interview I was supposed to do with a very famous DJ / producer from Sweden called Adrian Lux. I was supposed to, oh God, this is kind of embarrassing, but I was supposed to interview him last night. They wanted me to come in at 11:30 p.m. before his show. So obviously he's going on at like 12, right? So they wanted me to come in and interview this guy for like 15 minutes. 15 minutes at 11:30 at night? Sure, you're going to give me free tickets to an EDM show? That's great. Boy, I got this faucet to install in my kitchen. Right? So I called in sick. I called in sick to that. I felt a little old doing that thing. I was just like, man, I'm tired. I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm too old for this. 15 minutes. Fuck. Oh, my God. And I don't know where this is coming from, really, folks. Like, is it an age thing, or is it is it a chemical imbalance in my brain? Am I dealing with depression again? Is it coming back up? Is it irking its way back into my life? I don't know. These are all the questions that are floating around in my head. I'm being very honest with you people right now. I'm back on Chantix. Chantix seems to have some sort of effect on this a little bit, right? I mean, I have been like very perturbed, like. If somebody interrupts my thought process, which I'm going through, like let's say I'm standing in the yard, I'm like, man, I'm looking at this bald spot in the yard and I want to put some more grass seed on it. This sounds really stupid, by the way. I know how this sounds. I know how this sounds, folks. But I'm looking there and then my kid comes in, daddy, 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 daddy. And I'm like, what? What? What am I doing that for? It's not her fault. She just wants to ask you a question. She's 3 years old. Why are you getting pissed off at your kid or snapping at your kid for just interrupting your stupid thought process on the grass, right? I shouldn't be doing that, man. I got to work on this shit. I got to work on this. But I do think it's partly because of this Chantix stuff, man. I'm getting the crazy dreams again, and I'm getting really perturbed and anxious and a lot of anxiety going on. I'll tell you what. And that's what made me think about this this first chat I had with Eddie Pepitone at Laugh Hole at Chop Suey here in Seattle. We had a really good talk, man. And, like, you know, he's an anxious guy. He's an angry guy. And he deals with it somehow. And we talk a lot about that. He even gave me an autograph. I bought a poster off of him that night, done by the wonderful Barry Blankenship. And he signed it, and he was like, just remember to breathe. Just remember to breathe. Your buddy Eddie, man. And, you know, such a great dude. But, yeah, the feelings that I've been having this week made me think about this. Made me think about this conversation I had with Eddie Pepitone. And it's a good one. So I hope you guys really enjoy it if you haven't heard it already. Eddie's actually been on the show a couple of times. But I wanted to replay this this first one that we had, where he at one point burps in my face after he's eaten, like, this vegan sausage, which just smells awful. So you'll hear that as well. It's a good one. It's a good one. So stick around, will you? One thing before we get into our first musical break. Remember, we are doing a pretty amazing giveaway for the Timber Music Festival coming up on July 24th, 25th, and 26th. We are giving away a pair of tickets and camping, free camping, and a pair of tickets for one lucky Air Raid listener out there. Let's see, July 24th, 25th, 26th, Timber Music Festival with people like Jay Maskus. He was in Dinosaur Jr. He's the guy that plays guitar in our opening intro music, right? How about Charles Bradley? That's some serious stuff, man. Damian Dorado, he's been on the show before. He's amazing. He's amazing. They're all going to be there at Timber Music Festival in Carnation, Washington, July 24th, 25th, and 26th. And you can win tickets just by liking us on Facebook or by following us on Twitter. If you like and follow... if you do both, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, I'm just going to put this out there, but it's going to make your chances way better of winning this contest. We're going to pick at random somebody on, let's see, from the list on July, blah, 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 July 6th. July 6th, we're going to pick the winner randomly from our followers and likes on Facebook, and we'll notify you and probably say it on the show too, who won. So go and do that now, right? Yeah, do it up, do it up. All right, so let's do this. Let's get into it, shall we? Our first musical break. Like I said, we're featuring music from the very talented Sean Nelson. This is from his solo album that came out 2013. Called Make Good Choices. The song is also called Make Good Choices, and it is a very good one. So I hope you enjoy it. And we'll be back here momentarily with Mr. Eddie Pepitone chatting it up, man, here on the Air Raid Podcast. Stay with us.
You said was true, and breaking down my esprit de corps. I said was the dying breed. Your smile was disarming, 'cause nothing is more charming than a narcissist with whom you've just agreed. Make good choices, thank you very much indeed.
Why do you bring that up?
It fucks with mine, man. I'll tell you what.
What is that?
I don't know. I used to be in a band, and every time I would go up on stage, or before we would go up on stage, like I'd feel like I have to take a crap.
Well, that's stage anxiety.
Is it? And do you still get that?
That's called irritable bowel stage syndrome. No. No, I used to get that, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to get that when I... You know, I was scared to perform and stuff. And,
right, right.
You know, I still got it. Big shows, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
You got it tonight?
I got it today. I'm all out of whack today. I'm out of whack, but I'm good. You know. It's funny. Yeah, yeah. Sometimes when you're out of whack, you're fine as far as being funny. Maybe even funnier.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see about that.
It makes you more neurotic, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think I can smell what you just ate.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's fine. It smells good.
Oh, God.
It's making me hungry.
Wild rice and kale something.
Yeah.
I've been eating healthy. Okay. I've been trying to eat healthy.
I saw that because I follow you on Twitter.
Did you see my nasty thing last night?
No.
Because I watched this. What happens? Are we recording?
Yeah, yeah.
What happens with me sometimes when I watch a documentary is that I get really powerfully... like in that point of view, like I watched Forks Over Knives last night, which is this
Forks
movie.
Over, what's that?
Forks Over Knives is a movie about vegan, about how these two scientists and it just all this research has pointed to the fact, and it's deep, deep research that plant-based diets, plant-based,
will kill you.
will actually fucking make you healthy. And they just related cancer studies to people who eat meat and dairy.
You know what I just
heard? It's absolutely like, at least this documentary makes it seem it's absolutely fucking tied together. Meat and dairy, cancer, heart disease.
When did you make the switch? Because that's where I was going with that. Because I about saw like this tweet ago, that you did about now going vegan.
Yeah. About a year ago, but for 3 months I've been really good. I've had slips, you know, because, hey, you walk by a rib place.
especially in some towns, yeah. Totally.
No, but, you know, I've been really, really good, and it's been interesting. It's been really interesting to commit to it.
So have you felt like a difference?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Like what?
I have felt a difference in clarity and energy. Yeah, and I would
speaking
say
towards like the tie this into your comedy.
Sure,
has it done?
I'm definitely like very fucking alert on stage.
Really?
But I'm such a crazy person.
You are
that
clinically,
I think I'm clinically crazy, but I'm such a crazy person that to be really clear and really in touch with everything is scary because I got off of Prozac this year. I did a lot of good things for myself. Uh-huh. But, you know, was that a good move to get off Prozac?
How are you doing off of it?
I feel better, and I feel it was particularly psychologically proud of the fact that I was on it for 15 years, and I'm just on this health thing lately.
I was on it for 5. And
what'd you think?
I don't know if it did much for me.
And
that was the first one that I was ever put on. And then it went from Prozac to a different one.
Prozac to just restraints.
Something like, went from Prozac to the hospital, and from the
went
hospital
from Prozac to being beaten to over the head with a club.
Yeah, much like this one.
But, it went to Wellbutrin. I never
Wellbutrin, did that. And then from Wellbutrin to this thing called Paxil.
Yeah, I've heard of all of them.
Which was terrible.
Ooh,
that one had like some serious side effects.
Yeah, fuck all that. I feel like it's all a merry-go-round, and I feel like, though, if people need it, they need it. You know what I mean? I got put on it because I had major anxiety attacks.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
Just
me
like,
too.
Whoa,
like your heart's just racing. You can't get it to slow down. You can't calm down.
You know them. Oh, that's the best way to put it. Yeah. And your whole body feel like it's being flooded with Boris Karloff.
And you got to take a monster shit, right?
That, yeah, yeah. And, you know, just talking about travel today, I felt a little freaking anxiety on the plane. Like, I was like, sometimes I get there because
you fly coach? You go coach? Yeah. You're a normal person. Okay.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And the plane hit some fucking turbulence away. Yeah. And my thought went, I'm a pretty good flyer, but my thought went, wait a minute. Well, you're not supposed to get turbulence at the beginning. And that felt really weird, and a flood of anxiety hit me.
Right.
That's good.
That's terrible, man. That's terrible. I got my wife and I got in some really bad turbulence, the worst I've ever been.
The marriage?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's an everyday thing. No, coming home from... coming to Seattle from, I believe it was Phoenix.
Okay.
And there was a massive dust storm, so we sat on the tarmac for a little while. Oof. And then we take off, and you could see the fuselage inside the plane flex. Like, you could see the people.
I don't even know what that means.
The people, you know, the cabin that you're sitting in is flexing. Like, up and down. Like,
you know,
the people
makes,
sitting in
you
front
know
of you
know what's wild is
are
that
now
they
at a
still
different
decide
elevation.
To take off.
Right.
And I understand that, too, because everybody's like, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, well, I can't stay there another day.
You're anxious either way, right?
Because
you're either sitting in this fucking small space with a bunch of people that you hate, or you're up in the air
in
a small
space
with
a
bunch of people you hate.
I walked in a first class today to go to the bathroom.
You did?
Yeah.
I've never been that ballsy.
And the flight attendant was like, this is first class, sir. And I go, I know, I have to go to the bathroom. She goes, it's first class. And I go, what is the difference? And then I was like, okay, this can't escalate because on planes and shit, you got to be so cool.
Right.
You know, or they'll immediately brand me, you know, Al-Qaeda. He's Al-Qaeda. He wants to go to the bathroom in first class.
No, see, you're bald, so you can't, you get out of that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think you're fine.
I didn't know that was profiling. Holy, I'm glad I didn't get the hair plugs.
Yeah. Well, Eddie, if you haven't guessed so far, Eddie Pepitone, welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. Thank you for joining me this evening. You're going on here at Laugh Hole at Chop Suey here on Capitol Hill in Seattle.
Shortly, yeah.
And, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I love coming to different towns. This is my second time in Seattle. I did Bumper Shoot.
A couple of years ago,
and that was really fun.
Yeah.
Besides getting punched in the face by some weirdo.
No way.
I swear to God. Dude.
Here in Seattle? Was that the year that somebody
shoot.
Yeah, was that the year that somebody shot up a bunch of people at Bumper Shoot too?
Did that happen?
Yeah, it fucking happened.
Glad
man.
I missed that season.
Yeah, right?
What the hell? I thought Bumper Shoot.
It was some crazy guy in the middle of a crowd just pulled out a gun and started shooting people.
Really?
Yeah, I think he killed. Maybe he didn't kill anybody, but he wounded a couple people. Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. Well, no. This guy just like rammed into me. Huge crowds in Bumper Shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
I had just gotten off the plane. I'm like, Seattle, man. Yeah. First time in Seattle.
Uh huh.
And this guy like shouldered me. I was on my cell phone, and I just turned around. And I said, "Watch it, motherfucker," something like that.
Yeah.
And he just came at me, and he was huge.
Was he a lumberjack?
No, he was like a tweaked out moron.
Okay. Yeah.
And he kind of hit. Sure. He didn't. Hit me with the full fist, but he hit me in the face, and I was like, I can't believe I just got hit.
He front slapped you.
Yes,
is what he did. He
yes,
you like that with full palm.
Yeah,
yeah, pussy.
Yeah.
What an asshole.
It was a hilarious story though, because I got a lot of mileage out of the festival because it happened. And then what happened was that, you know, my glasses went flying. I wear glasses, and I picked them up, and then I looked at him, and I was like, do I? And this was me in my head. Do I run into this guy?
Right.
And fucking go all out on this, like. Eddie, you nuts. And then I just yelled at, I'm reporting you, which was basically saying, I'm telling.
If you would have just added at the end of that, I'm telling my mom that I'm reporting you to my mother. That would have been good. That would have been good. Because maybe he would have, you know, he would have taken you seriously. Who knows?
I should have said his mother. That might have put a scare into him. I know your mother, Mr. Tarrington. Or whoever his name is. I would have guessed his name. That would have been fun.
It was probably something like Jones.
Yeah. It seems like a guy with the last name Jones would probably just hit somebody for bumping into him on an accident.
But then at Bumper Shoot, so it was right on my mind, and I performed that night or whatever, mm-hmm. and I was just like yelling at the crowds going, because my thing is to yell, and I was like, oh, you gourmet coffee motherfuckers. Oh, you're all intending, all you do is hit people here. What is this bullshit? Yeah, you know, eat natural foods and gourmet coffee. It's all a ruse.
Were you a vegan at this point?
No.
No. See, now you're much more calm. You wouldn't have gone
perhaps.
That route.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe you'd bump into the guy maybe and I say, hey, look, man.
It was nasty to what he did. I have a big temper with
still?
Shit like that.
Yeah.
Still, a couple of pieces of kale aren't going to...
They don't clean you out that much. Huh?
Imagine that. Like you eat kale for a week and you're immediately like, you know what? Let's pull out of Iraq.
Turns any Republican liberal. Mm. Yeah. Instantly. Yeah. So do you get do you pull a lot of your comedy from real life scenarios? I'm guessing that you do.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. 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 I like to. I mean, like lately, I mean, I just, you know, I think when you mature as a comedian, you're basically having the courage to put your life on stage because I think.
Right, right.
I think.
You think people connect with that a lot more?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so. I think they connect with honesty and, you know, truth and stuff. And, you know, because a lot of comics just are conceptual, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, I'm going to think of a funny thing, you
right,
know.
Right, right.
And
well, that's the difference between a comedian like yourself. Sorry to interject here, but that's the difference between a comedian like yourself, who I would say is kind of a comics comic or an indie comedian,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to like the blue collar comedy tour with Jeff Foxworthy or something like that. You know?
Oh yeah.
You know? I mean, do you see that difference too?
Like, yeah, you
know, being in the business.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't interested in those guys, so I never really. Watched them, but like Larry the Cable Guy, mm-hmm. you know, who I've seen a little of,
yeah.
you know, that's a little act about, you know, a little catchphrase and,
right,
you
right.
know, just a little act.
I'll bet you that guy doesn't even have an accent.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, probably.
He's probably from L.A.
Probably.
Born and raised in L.A.
Yeah, but it isn't like really putting out stuff, because to me, I was talking about with a friend of mine who's not a comedian in New York, you know, and a mm-hmm. lifelong friend, and I was like, you know, being a comedian, like in the true cosmic sense, is like, I think the role of the comedian, the archetype, you know, is
someone
who points out how insane life is and it lets people laugh at it.
Right.
Like at our insanity. We are, I really believe this, we are all fucking crazy.
We just got done talking about how many pills we've taken to make us less crazy. Yeah,
but society.
Yeah,
it's, oh, yeah, it's, yeah, it's, yeah. It's, look at the society.
Well, everybody's
look
on
at the
Prozac,
world.
Eddie.
Not even that. Just the war. Like, just like it's accepted that people kill and rape. And it's just accepted.
Right, right.
I mean, on a wide scale, or that there's mass hunger. Or like in this country, because I'm really into the Occupy movements.
Uh-huh.
In this country, oh. It's fine that 50% of all the wealth in the country goes to the top 0.01%.
Yeah,
I mean, people are pissed, but nobody. It's like, oh, that's the way it is. You know, it's like,
right,
no,
well,
it's insane.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
insane.
Well, I think some people choose not to look at it, right?
Of course, it's like, they can't because
their life is cushy right now. They, you know, they have the
well,
2.5
okay,
kids, the dog and the cat, and everything
yeah,
like that.
For people whose lives are cushy,
it's
yeah,
the Matrix, man.
What?
It's the Matrix. It's the Matrix.
The Matrix?
Yeah. We're living in a Keanu Reeves movie.
Yeah, I really never saw The Matrix. I don't like him. You know, it's so funny. I was talking to someone earlier, and it was about that I didn't grow up liking comic books. I was a big sports guy. I'm like,
really?
My thing is very aggressive. Like, I aggressively root for I'm a New York guy. New York, I love hockey, the New York Rangers,
uh-huh.
the New York Giants in football, and the Yankees in baseball. And I'm really, and I don't, like, look at a lot of comic books.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a sports nerd, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
I just bring that up in relation to The Matrix. Like, I should know what the hell The Matrix is. And I've seen some of it.
Well, you're
it
picking,
looked good.
You're picking and choosing what you like out of pop culture is what you're doing.
Yeah. I feel like I miss out on, or not miss out, but a lot of comedy fans love all the Comic-Con stuff. And I don't relate to it
You know what you need to, you know what you need to do? Here's what you need to do is you need to just go to a Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
Just once. Mm. Go on
is
a,
that true?
On
I should go.
Saturday,
San Diego, yeah.
And you will see the freakiest shit you've ever seen before and people that are really, really good at making costumes. That is
I've always hated Halloween.
Oh, really? Okay,
I don't know
what
it is.
Don't go. Don't go
no,
to
no,
a Comic-Con.
No, but yeah. I just find it a bizarre thing, and I shouldn't judge it because I think I kind of do the same thing with sports. Like, I get so into identifying.
Do you
with,
get into stats and everything like that?
I'm not like, that like. I'm not that like that. It? I'm yeah. not like a stat guy, but I want. Here's my insanity.
Yeah.
And I've always been like this since I'm a kid. I want my team to win very badly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've matured to the point where if my team loses a real big game, I'll be like, okay, fuck them, you know, I move on. Whereas a kid, I would like bash things. I was really upset.
And would you get pissed off too when your team lost?
Well, as a kid, I was. Yeah. My father used to go, "You get the fuck out of the house. You're out of your mind." I remember when the Rangers, they lost the seventh game of a Stanley Cup playoff, and I just had, and it was the days, it was, they weren't even on TV then, they were on radio, and I just took a hammer to the transistor radio, and my dad caught me doing
your dad's radio?
Yeah, probably, I wasn't buying things. He picked me up literally and threw me out of the house for a couple hours.
Oh, my God.
He's like,
you sound
dude.
Like we're living parallel lives here at different times, different points in time. Let's take a quick musical break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with comedian Eddie Pepitone about why he's so angry. Get into that. All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, before we do this, before we get to the second musical break, we just got to remind you guys that we get sponsorship from the wonderful people at Naked City Brewery and Tap House, located here in North Seattle at 8564 Greenwood Avenue North, Seattle, Washington. It's a fantastic place. I urge you guys, if you haven't already, to go and visit the people at Naked City Brewery and Tap House and check out their amazing beer selection, for one, and then eat some fantastic food. And hey, if you have kids, it's kid-friendly. They got a whole, like, family section there now. It's great. It's wonderful. And everybody seems to get along. You know, in some places, like, when there's a lot of kids and stuff, like, people tend to hate it. Like, people without kids. But this, it's all sectioned off, man. It's all sectioned off. And you can have a great dinner and great beers there without having to worry about it, man. Because there's a 21 and over section as well. Plus, they've got this great screening room where we did our live show, and now they're doing this thing called the Naked Sessions, which they're going to do another one here with Star Anna. She's been on the show before. June 28th at 8 p.m., $10 at brownpapertickets.com. Go and check it out. It's a great place, great setting for some music, man. And if you go there and visit and you see me with my head down on the bar, That would probably be because I drank a little bit too many Naked City Brute Force IPAs. Let me tell you, fantastic stuff, man. I was not into the beers for a long time. Naked City has brought me back in, and they help us keep the lights on, which is amazing. And they give us some beers, you know, on the side. It's pretty great. So show them some love, will you? Visit them at nakedcitybrewing.com or in real life. Do it. All right. Let's go to our second musical break. This is Fire Island by the band The Long Winters, of which Sean Nelson was in. From the album Putting the Days to Bed from 2005, Fire Island will be right back with more of the Air Raid podcast for your ears with a special guest today, Eddie Pepitone. All right. Stay with us, everybody. So I don't have to wonder, did it reach you? Welcome back. You're joined here by Eddie Pepitone, comedian Eddie Pepitone. And you may know him from massive appearances on WTF with Marc Maron, and also his own podcast called The Long Shot with who else?
Sean Conroy, Jamie Flom,
okay,
and Amber Kenny.
Other people. I only thought it was two other people.
Yeah, it's three other people.
Okay.
It's me and Sean have been comedy partners for a long time in New York and then in L.A. And then Jamie and Amber got into the mix, and it's like a weird dysfunctional family that's become pretty funny.
Are these all people that you've known for a while and...
Yeah, a little bit. Amber, I didn't know at all.
Oh, okay.
Sean knew Amber, so he thought Amber would be a very good juxtaposition to our cynicism.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
So you have basically both sides of the coin on
That kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
That kind of thing, yeah.
Totally. So when we left for that musical break, we were kind of talking about how you are a huge sports fan, and you busted up this transistor radio after, who was it? Your hockey
Rangers
team.
Lost.
The Rangers lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a playoff.
You poor kid.
Yeah, but no, but I have to say, I am finally like going, okay, let me, you know, these are games, okay. You know what I realized? Because the Giants, my football team, the Giants, just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it was really exciting.
How happy were you about
that? Well, I was really happy. It was really exciting. But what I always realized, and I talk about this on stage too, is that about an hour or two after the game, my life does not change.
Right. Then you just start thinking about shit again and get depressed.
Or just like, you know, I remember doing a joke about if the Yankees won the World Series, I called up my bank and I said, how much money do I have in my account? And they were like $13. And I was like, check again. The Yankees just won the World Series. Like somehow they're connected.
Right.
You know?
Obama just got elected. You should have at least 2,000 in there.
I was very excited when he got elected. Now I'm not that. I'm like, oh, great. Great.
What else could go wrong?
You know?
God damn it. Well, you were saying earlier you've always been kind of this angry guy, and that shows. You know, you bring that into your act, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be a little bit inflated on stage.
Oh, totally,
though, right?
Totally,
yeah. Because you seem very calm right here. I think it's. I mean, you know, it could be being a vegan for 2 years now, but
a year at the
most. Yeah, a year. Okay.
But man, it's not a complete persona because it's definitely
a
big part. Yeah. My rage, you know, I use my rage to be funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think, here's what I think about rage and anger. It's hilarious because.
When you're not standing in front of it.
Yes. No, but it's hilarious to be rageful and angry because you never get your way.
Mm-hmm.
Rageful and angry people. You know, you may think you get your way because you were angry, you got someone to do something, or you manipulated them, but you're still left with yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You never really solve anything
by
being a rageful and angry person. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've really realized that.
Well, what happens to me is when I fly off the handle about something stupid, you know, it's always something.
It is always something stupid.
You know?
It is always something stupid.
You end up calming down finally, or when you finally calm down, you end up thinking that it's the dumbest thing ever, and you're so goddamn embarrassed that you walk back into your house or back out into the living room with your fucking tail between your legs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's tough.
I got to get over that, man.
Well, so
it sounds like
but the best
way
is way. Like the best way. Nah, not really. I mean, no? I still get angry at little things.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like I live with my girlfriend, and last night it was like we're gonna watch a movie. So I said, okay, we're gonna watch the movie. She goes, okay, start it, and I start it, and then she doesn't come and lay next to me, and she's doing stuff, and I'm like, so first I go like this, I go, honey, you gonna come?
Are you gonna see this?
You gonna come? And
you
she's like,
this?
yeah, I'll be there. You keep it rolling, and I'm like, okay, but then at some point when she doesn't. Come into the bed and watch it with me. I'm like, what the fuck, honey? And then she's pissed.
Because you know, if you watch like half of it, she's going to come in there. She's going to ask you what happened. Right?
No, she doesn't do that.
Oh, she
I just
do
get
that?
Pissed
okay.
that, you know, in my head, we were going to watch.
At least I got a reason, man.
Yeah. No, I'm like, yeah. Two angry guys going, well, at least I had a reason. Like,
like who's the worst person?
Yeah, yeah.
I had a reason, Bob. No, so then I get, and then she gets she gets upset that I'm being controlled, and it's like,
right.
then I'm like, ah, oh, fuck, I shouldn't have gotten angry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why do I have to raise? Why do I have to raise my voice? Why do I have to, you know, talk in a snappy cadence? You know what I mean? Like, what is that? Like that's
my.
And I think it's because I'm wound so fucking tight.
It went back to the anxiety thing.
Anxiety.
Yeah,
I've gotten into meditation, but meditation is very hard. Well, my nickname is the Bitter Buddha.
Right. Yeah.
A documentary's coming out about me.
Documentary. Yeah.
I got the teaser here, and we're going to show it tonight at the show.
Nice.
Hopefully, if we can do it.
Yeah.
You know that wound tight thing, man. Mm-hmm. Not good.
No. No.
You know why? Why be? Why
well,
be wound tight?
Here's what's going to happen, and we're gonna end up being those guys that buy a bunker at some point in the future. And
for
just,
what?
And
to have our
for
own
the
space?
Apocalypse or something like that. Haven't you seen that new show on Discovery Channel, Bunker Busters?
I won't
or
watch
whatever?
It. I won't
Jesus
watch it.
Jesus Christ.
How do you like it? I
do
a lot of material
on
the
apocalypse. No, but I watched like four shows. I watched four episodes of it the other day.
You did?
The whole time I was like, these fucking morons.
Yeah, totally. I'm sure they are, right?
They're called like preppers or something?
Yes,
like
preppers. They fucking assholes. No, because to me, you know, that's a sickness. Like, oh, let me isolate from everybody.
Yeah.
Let
yeah.
me instead of like because the only way
well,
shit's going
to
get
goes
solved.
Back to anxiety too. Like you're you
totally.
Know you're pent up. You're like, oh, what's going to happen?
And these guys, I think, are all violent.
This
like,
fucking this,
these guys all have guns
oh, yeah, yeah.
stockpiled and.
Well,
shit.
It's like that guy that just shot the 17-year-old kid out in where was it?
Oh,
did you hear about that?
Was that in New York?
I don't know. I don't think it was in New York.
What was the deal?
I can't remember
what was the deal?
Well, this guy, this neighborhood watch guy in a gated community, saw this black kid, this black 17-year-old, standing on the opposite side of the street. Was that in New York?
I think I was just watching. It just happened recently.
Yeah, and the kid had a can of tea and a bag of Skittles. That's it. And this guy shot this kid dead because he thought he was...
A can of tea?
Yeah, yeah, like a, you know...
an iced tea?
A soda can, an iced tea, yeah.
Well, that guy is a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about, man. That's some anxiety right there,
oh,
right?
Oh, big time.
And some paranoia. And some
paranoia, racism,
yeah.
all of it, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally.
It's a tough world to live in.
Yeah.
It really is.
It is. Man,
you know, it's
a,
you know what? Nah. You know what's amazing is that it's a tough world, but it's a beautiful world. And this is the thing I've been coming to lately is that the world is it's like beauty. It's beauty and horror.
Uh-huh.
At equal doses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Equal doses. Like incredible beauty and gentleness and kindness and love, and then incredible horror. No, I'm serious.
Just dark, dark, dark horror.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Incomprehensible
right,
horror
right.
juxtaposed to, like, just absolutely amazing acts of kindness, and that's what the world
is. Yeah, 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 and that's how it works
yin
too,
and yang.
Right? Yin and yang. There you go.
Yin
you
and
go.
Yang.
You
they were a great they were a great vaudeville team in Sichuan, China, for a long time before Sichuan just became a meal.
Hey, they have great shaved noodles.
I know they do.
yeah. So let's switch gears here a little bit.
Let's talk about shaved noodles.
Let's talk about shaved noodles and this new documentary coming out about you.
Okay.
When does this thing come out?
We're hoping for a summer release.
Yeah.
Looking for distribution for it.
Okay.
And that's the deal. And we're gonna do some screenings and stuff. I'm
excited
about it. I'm very excited about it. It's wild, huh?
You gonna take it to any of the like Sundance or any of the
we're waiting to hear right now from a couple of festivals.
Okay.
So
you have to apply for that stuff, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's been submitted to a couple of festivals. We're waiting to hear.
Cool.
About that. But you know, for me it's a little weird because it's like it's a story of my life. And,
right, yeah, yeah.
That's a little intense.
That's what I wanted to ask you about, too, because, I mean, you've been doing comedy for a long time.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you don't have to say it like that.
I'm sorry.
Eddie, you've been doing comedy since the Steamboat Engine. Was it steam power? Or was...
You used to be a newsie.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing it?
I am 53. I started in comedy, not just stand-up. I started about, I would say, 21.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've been doing it pretty regularly for how many years is that? I don't even want to know. 32.
Yeah. Yeah.
On 32, and the last 10 very stand up-y. I've done lots of one man shows. I like doing that.
Yeah,
you know, where it's, I'm just a character guy. Right, I did a one man show in L.A. Recent 2 years ago. End of Days, I called it. It was about the apocalypse in Los Angeles. Like, I'm an actor still trying to get work during the apocalypse. Yeah. I have some funny shit on that one. And I was in an improv company that traveled the country for a few years. I started a sketch group. So I've done all forms of comedy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I love plays. I love acting in plays.
You were in it during the boom period in the 80s and then during the kind of the downfall and like
oh, you don't have to put it that way.
But well, I'm just saying, I'm getting to a question.
I wasn't a big stand up though in the 80s. I was more doing like sketch and stuff.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like one of the road guys making tons of money.
Well, was that even harder than doing stand up during that? I guess during the 80s, a lot of that stuff was really popular, and then the 90s came. And
was it harder? I don't know. I always had a good time doing it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Making a living has not been easy.
Right.
It's been getting good for me lately.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to, like, for me, it's everything comes slowly to me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm always amazed at young kids who, like, boom, they're, like, making money, and I'm like, whoa, you know, because I just didn't have
how did you get there so quick?
Yeah, I didn't have my shit together like that. For
are you
me,
jealous?
It's been
are
a very painful journey.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently.
And I think you hear that when I'm on stage. You know, that's really what it is. Yeah, yeah. It's accumulated tension that comes out. It's accumulated over the years, you know.
And somewhat logarithmic. It's just been getting worse and worse. But
what does that mean, logarithmic?
Logarithmic is like you... every step you go up, you times it by the number.
Like, I thought that was exponential.
Is that exponential?
I don't know.
Okay, never mind.
I thought you knew what you were talking about. I could easily throw you off your logarithm.
I sounded smart there for a few seconds. Yeah, until
I'm like that too.
Email.
I can say things that sound really good and no one challenges me.
Right.
But I'm a curious guy. I'm like, logarithmic. How do you, that sounds like I love language. I love language. I mean, I use language. So
yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, you're a master. You're a master of the language.
I would
say so, man. So where I was going with, like, you know, pointing out that...
the boom and the bust.
Yeah, the boom and the bust periods of comedy, and now it seems like we're in this boom again.
Is that right?
Like, I think so.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think it's a lot. I think
maybe because it's such a depressing economy and comedy is needed. Is that one thing? Or
I don't know. I was going to ask you the same question. Like, why do you why do you think this is? I'm not a comedian, so like, why do you think it's taking? You know, we're going on the uphill.
Think that has something to do with it. That there's, you know, things are tough in the economy and the world, and that. You know, there's more of a need for comedy. And also, you know, with stand-up, it's kind of easy to produce. It's just a microphone, and, you know, it's not a big production.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right, right. And you know, you just mentioned, like, the younger generation that's coming up, and people are doing really well.
Some of them, yeah.
Probably due to, like, things like Facebook, Twitter.
And podcasts.
You're reaching a wider audience a lot quicker,
Yeah. Like Judd Apatow. I know this story. Judd Apatow saw a clip. Aubrey Plaza, who was on Parks and Rec.
Yeah, totally.
In some movie she sent
out. Oh, yeah. It was a YouTube thing.
I think
she,
and now she's a star. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Because of the internet.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And people are doing that. Does that great... grate on you a little bit? Like, I mean, cause
I gotta tell you, a lot
of the older generation of comedians always talk about paying your dues, right?
Right.
And that's, you know, that seems like something.
Yeah,
that,
you know, yeah. Oh, yeah, it does grate on. It makes me angry, but what doesn't? But also though, you know, it's just the way it is. This is my latest mindset about things when I'm saying it's like, it's just the way it is, you know? And also, people who achieve stardom, fame, whatever, really quickly, I don't think a lot of them have staying power because they haven't paid their dues, that kind of thing.
Right,
and
right.
It's ridiculous to resent.
They don't know how to bomb. They don't know how to, you know.
They don't know how to bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
Those poor bastards. They got to learn that. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But, it's ridiculous to resent whatever happens is what I'm coming to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love to use the internet myself. Like, I, you know.
Well, you're doing this thing, Puddin'.
Yes. Right? You have these.
I have all kinds of shit going on on the internet. I'm pretty active with my Twitter feed, just throwing jokes out, and I got Pudding Strip, and I throw jokes out on Facebook and Twitter, and I put up videos, and I do all kinds of web videos and tons of podcasts, all internet stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm right in there with the young people. Excuse me, like I go into the internet and I'm like, excuse me, is there a bathroom in the internet? Yeah, I know. Well, I'm older and I need a bathroom. Yeah. I'm putting up a Pudding Strip. Do you know what that is?
Preferably a toilet with one of those big cushy seats on it.
And a magazine.
Reader's Digest. You got some Reader's Digest in there?
I just love magazines that cover guns and tits.
Who doesn't, sir? Yeah. Well, Eddie Pepitone, thank you so much, man. Let's pimp your wares here. I know we just kind of glossed over some of it.
But, let's see.
Where can we find you on the on the internet? The toilet.
The toilet. Yes, eddiepepitone.com, my website. Then at Eddie Pepitone on Twitter.
Yes.
Please join my Facebook fan page, The Long Shot Podcast. Which you can find on the intranets, and Pudding Strip, which is at Pudding Strip on Twitter, and it's on YouTube.
Excellent. And that's some funny stuff.
It's crazy,
man.
Yeah.
Matt, that is some funny shit.
Yeah, that's crazy. Some dark.
It's done by like Patton Oswalt's brother
yes.
or something like that,
Matt
right?
Matt Oswalt, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah. Now, do you do last question, I swear okay. to God. Do you do the writing for that?
Matt does it.
Oh, okay.
Matt writes for me so well. But I like to I have been trying to write more of them, you know, but
really?
He makes it so easy for me. I just come in. We film like 25 in one night.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And
they're
then,
only about what, a minute long
yeah.
each or something
mm-hmm.
like that. Yeah.
Short, a little shorter sometimes, uh-huh. a little longer, but we'll film once
crazy.
We'll film them once a month.
Really?
And so we do 25-30, and so it's pretty easy for me
because
he writes them and stuff. But I want to write. I've been writing more, and you know, some interesting things have been happening with putting some people maybe picking us up.
Cool.
Maybe.
Excellent.
So
can
we'll
you say
see.
Who or?
Oh, I cannot.
Okay.
Because I don't know.
Gotcha, Eddie Pepitone. Thank you so much, man.
Thank
Looking
you.
Looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back. Man, that was, I'm like kind of proud of myself. That was a pretty good conversation. That was a really entertaining conversation. I actually sat here and listened to the whole thing. That was fun for me. I hope it was fun for you guys. That was from episode 90, recorded back somewhere near March 25th of 2012. We have gone a long way, man. We've gone a long way. Next week is episode 200, and I'm super excited about it. I'm putting a lot of time and energy into putting this show together for you guys. It's going to be great. We're going to have a special guest, Steve Ranasisi, very, very funny comedian, from the show The League. Super, super great guy, and super funny, and super interesting conversation with him as well. Man, two great comedians in 2 weeks, man. It's good stuff. This air raid stuff, right? Don't you like it? Don't you love it? Tell your friends about it, will you? Help us out. Share it with your friends on Facebook. Share it with your friends on Twitter. We would really, really appreciate the help there, right? And also, something that we haven't done for a long time, I know I did a little bit earlier in this show, but please go to iTunes. If you have, if you use iTunes to download this show, remember to rate and review us because it really does help out. Shows PR people that people actually listen to the show and all that good stuff, gets us up in the standings as well. So please, you know, go on to iTunes. Subscribe your mother and your sister and your brother and your father to the show on iTunes. They won't even know. Or if they do, they'll probably fucking like it, all right? So, Jesus, consider it a birthday present or something, right? Super cheap birthday presents, totally free to you. Yeah. And then have them rate and review the show as well. All right. And, before we go, don't forget about the giveaway here, people. Timber Outdoor Music Festival happening July 24th, 25th, and 26th. We've got a pair of tickets and free camping for one lucky winner. Whoever, you know, whatever, man. Just like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. If you do both, it's going to increase your chances of being chosen. And we're going to pick that person on at random on July 6th, and then announce that on that show, and also push it out on the socials. So we're going to try to only pick people from Washington. Unless you live somewhere else and you would like to be included, please email me, Aaron@air-raid.net, and we'll keep a running tab of you folks and keep you in line for this contest, this sweet giveaway, man. It's a lot of fun. I've been to Timber. I went to Timber last year. This year's the second year. Jay Maskus, Charles Bradley, Damian Jurado, man, all going to be there. Horse Feathers, God, just a massive amount of great music and great things to do for families and for non-families. I know that I got a little drunk last year, and it was great because my family was not there. And this year they will be, so I will probably not be getting drunk. It's great. It's out in the wilderness in Carnation, Washington, and it's just fantastic, man. It just feels like you're there with family the whole time, and everybody's just having a great time. Just wonderful. I can't wait for it. Can't wait for it this year. July 24th, 25th, and 26th, Timber Music Festival. Sold out last year, so get your tickets now, or, take your chances on this awesome ticket giveaway that we've got going. If you already like Air Raid on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, you are automatically entered to win, so don't worry about that. But if you want your friends maybe to win the thing, maybe tell them to like us on Facebook. That would be fantastic, and it would help us out, right? Yes, I think so. All right, people. Man, we'll see you next week for episode 200. Big show. Big show next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. We're going to go out today with Flagpole Sitta by the band Harvey Danger. Sean Nelson celebrating his 20 years of playing music, rocking out in this wonderful city of ours, Seattle. This album came out in 1998. It's off of Where Have All the Merrymakers Gone? Once again, Flagpole Sitta. And congratulations, Sean Nelson. Big feat, man. And he had a great show last night with a bunch of awesome musicians down there at Columbia City Theater. And it was fantastic. So congratulations, Sean. Keep on doing what you do best, man. We love it. Flagpole Sitta. And have a great week, everyone.